League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
That Nag Champa, that Lavender, that
Nag Champa. See, I didn't know that. Okay, what's Nag Champa? I just know that as a song.
Yeah, right. The Common Joint that produced by Jay Dilly. Got him singing on the hook. Hey, that's why I bought it though. Just when I was like, yo, hey, no, hey, Kermit, this is my favorite song on like Wonderful Chocolate. I'm buying this. And it gives you like this, like a calming, like kind of like. Like a soothing, just kind of like, I don't want to say mist, but you know, like when the incense burn, it just like, just mellow out just the room. You know what I'm saying? I light a couple of those back to back. I throw some lo-fi on in the stream, on the Steezy AF stream. That's how I get through my work days. That's where I don't even be tripping.
Lo-fi, what's the lo-fi?
So listen, now you know, obviously I'm a big Tribe fan, and I feel that Q-Tip and Jay Dilla are the godfathers of what they call lo-fi. Because lo-fi ain't nothing but Asian and white kids doing Village, Tribe Called Quest, Dilla beats, but they only like 90 seconds long.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
okay. Like the boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Doom, 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 doom. Right. You know what I'm saying? Okay. You like some of those. Hey man, that's how you know sometimes. And then you know, evening, you might throw on some of that, take a nice edible, get you a glass of red wine. You know what I'm saying? Oh. I'm not really particular about what red wine. I'm not a wine connoisseur like that. I do a red though. And
I'm still gonna stick with the tequila, you know what I'm saying?
hey, that works too. I'm sure it works too. But you know, I like the mellow it completely out. But yeah, get that Nag Champa, some lavender. And I got the what is it? I think it's like
I had the candle.
Yeah, Dragon's Blood.
I had a lavender eucalyptus candle.
There you go. Yeah. You trying to chill.
I was a hit like, yo, I'm mellowed out. See, getting my old age, you know what I'm saying? I'm learning about candles and different smells to help calm me down.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Get a little bit. I wish I would have known this shit at 25.
Oh man, I just wasn't good at it because my mom. You know our mom. She's sure had the Money House Blessings, like aerosols and then the incense in them. So like my mom never stopped using those. I was like, man, what'd she have? And I was like, oh okay.
The
Ganesh, whatever it is.
Your mom still use the Money House Blessing?
I don't think she got any more of that, but the same incense though. She used to buy them from the beauty supply store like 10 at a time. So you ain't using that many a time. But yeah, she had those for a long time. Like
with the Indian on the cover, it'd be like purple with the Indian on the cover.
Absolutely. You know, but with the Tatanka joint on and shit.
Yeah,
man. Hey, if you can, this is at Walmart too. This whole little setup is like maybe like $10. I bought two rain candles and two packages of the rain incense. And I set them joints up like from like the little island area that we don't really use. And then I got like another table with my ashtray and other stuff in there. I just light them. And then get my Himalayan salt lamp, turn that hoe on.
Salt lamp?
Yeah, I got the Himalayan salt lamp. I got like two of them. It's fine.
I'm learning.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I have to get better at self-care.
For sure.
I have to get a whole lot better with self-care. I'm getting there, fam. I'm getting there.
For sure.
But man, y'all, hey.
Yeah. Welcome. And y'all know what it is, man. It's a Sunday evening. You know what I'm saying? 1 week away from Super Bowl Sunday, I believe. Because, that's next Sunday.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, still early. Hope y'all got your picks in and your bets placed, but maybe give it a little more time. You know what I'm saying? FanDuel will give you up, I think, till like Saturday night, I believe. Or early Sunday afternoon, I believe. But you know what? Wrestling has taken quite the turn here as we head to Elimination Chamber. Some might even say that they are preparing to make Elimination Chamber premium live event number 5 this year for 2023. And we're going to talk about everything that that encompasses. But of course, you know that means that it is time for the first Black Champ podcast. And even though you see the lower third, you know it's me, the pick of this podcast, Wrestling-ish Camp from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Barbershed Digital is the home. And I'm the VP, so you already know what it is. Make sure you go ahead and get that merch. We ain't got it on today because, you know, we was chilling. We was out. We was doing stuff and that thing like that. But yeah, go ahead and get that merch, man. Click the link in the bio. Great show planned for you today. But we would be bogus if we didn't start this show off with the unfortunate passing of Leaping Lanny Poffo, a.k.a. The Genius. It was reported this past week that he had passed away. I didn't see, you know why he may have passed away, but I'm just going to kick this off by saying that I didn't know who Leaping Lanny Poffo was.
Okay.
I knew The Genius, though.
Right, fact.
I learned who Leaping Lanny Poffo was when I got the network and I started looking at all of the older wrestling. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh man, that's The Genius.
yeah.
I knew he was Macho Man's brother. That I knew.
Yeah.
But I didn't know him as Leaping Lanny Poffo. I knew him as The Genius. So much so, when I start seeing people call the Jizza from Wu-Tang The Genius, my first thought was, oh man, he copying off The Genius from the WWF. Yeah,
Biters, come on. Yeah, Ghostface, solve this.
Yeah, like what's really going on? I think that the majority of us would know him as The Genius, and possibly his biggest moment is defeating Hulk Hogan by countout. And then what happened afterwards on Saturday night's main event, and what happened afterwards when Mr. Perfect destroyed the championship belt, which I know many of us thought would lead to a championship feud with Hulk Hogan versus Mr. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's probably yours, but what are some of your other thoughts of The Genius?
Man, so first and foremost for me, The Genius was honestly one of my favorite 80s wrestlers. And it's not for necessarily all of his in-ring work, even though I had never seen like that much, like I guess you could call it grace with like doing the cartwheels and moving and how he transitioned to the rope with the taunt and all of that. That was, you know, because I wasn't old enough for Gorgeous George and like, you know, Adrian Adonis and all those guys that was kind of doing that same thing. So he's just like, you know, just pulling from those guys. But The Genius was a part of my favorite 80s tandem. As far as like, and I say tandem, not tag team, because Mr. Perfect and The Genius never teamed up. But, and I'm sure you remember this, Bang, but remember when The Genius and Mr. Perfect started rolling together and he would just kick a poem about how dope Mr. Perfect was, and then he beat somebody ass?
Yes.
I to this day, I've wondered why they have not brought two people together to do that again. Like, that is one of the most creative, eclectic, and just entertaining ways to start a match, and then you back up everything in the poem that's being said, ending it with the perfect plex. Like, that was a dope moment in time. And I was always a fan of The Genius because he came around, and this is true stories from the 815 with Camp from the Port, right? True story here. I started liking The Genius because I had just started getting really good at speech and reading. For those of y'all that don't know, I used to stutter really bad as a kid, like real bad, to the point where they low-key thought I was slow or I couldn't read.
Oh, I'm sorry for laughing.
No, it's fine. Okay. Because I'm on the playground cussing and fighting and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. It's just like, so it's like, I'm not, I'm obviously not that stupid, right? You know what I mean? Like, I know all the words.
Like, fuck you. But then you get the class, be like, 4-4-4-4-4-4, all right.
Yeah, exactly. Really? So my speech, or my orator, yes, my orator, that's what she was. Oh. She was helping me. She was like, hey, you just got to slow down, like think, and then speak. And then obviously probably some of y'all know by now, like sometimes I'll sit here and meditate kind of like Spike Lee and then start talking. And that's because it's so many words.
Oh, no, I've seen you do that for other reasons. Like,
yeah, right. So I'll sit there, let everything. Okay, wait. So now let it come out like this.
Yeah, I've seen it when he about to snap, but he like, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, see? All makes sense. We're tying this all together. So what I liked about the genius is that some of the words he would use were like words I hadn't seen yet in my books. Oh. But after I watched him, I jumped like 3 reading levels because I was like, oh, I got to find that word. So I kept reading. And then then I did the crossing bridges, building borders, like all the little books. I got through 3 of them. So I went from stuttering, being barely able to get past the first book to like knocking 3 out in one semester.
So it's safe to say that the genius helped you get good grades on your Iowa test scores.
Man, you know.
Wow.
RIP to the genius. And you know, and it also helped me with just understanding what like a genius was, right? He's supposed to be the world's smartest man. And when he was delivering those different tactics, and even when, if you check out his wrestling style, obviously Lanny was in great shape, but he wasn't necessarily fast and he wasn't necessarily the strongest, but he literally was able to outthink wrestlers. To me, they should have always been talking about the genius when they talk about technical wrestlers in general, because he really was the first guy that was like, oh, I'm going to outthink you in the wrestling ring. And I was always kind of entertained by that.
Before you even go, I don't know if you saw Lim, how mm-hmm. he looked at me crazy while we were doing that. He really looked at me like, man, fam, what are y'all on right now? And then just walked off on my ass. Shouts out to my 1-year-old son who did that. No, see, that's dope. One, I didn't know that, but two, but I think that's the important part of the genius, where I don't remember, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't remember a lot of people having promos and using big ass words before the genius.
I don't know any. I mean, the closest I would say would be Freddie Blassie and my man Nick Bockwinkel. That would be the closest.
Yeah, I don't remember, you know, like people being like their vocabulary being so stellar when they was giving out promos. It was brother, you know, right. and stuff like that. We're gonna beat you in the smithereens and stuff like smithereens right. may be a big word, but it didn't sound elegant coming from Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, but when the genius called you a sycophant. You know, right. You're like, man, what the hell you call me?
You about to do what? And then next thing you know, like, I couldn't tell you a finishing move from the genius.
No.
I just knew he did leap as the genius. And it's not like I saw him wrestle a lot as the genius. But what I will say, and I'm looking at Keith's comment, you had the double whammy speech impediment and banging on kids at recess. Yeah, you was... You frustrated as a young chap, man. Yeah, I can't get this shit out, boom. But nah, the genius was one of my favorite hands because I wouldn't have cared about the Beverly Brothers if it wasn't for the genius.
That's a good point.
But him getting with Mr. Perfect to me was absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
When they put him with Coach, I was like, why? Who the fuck is this dude blowing his whistle around here? Like, fuck on, fam.
Right.
When and Bobby Heenan is just a given. You could damn look. They gave Bobby Heenan the Brooklyn Brawler and it made him more interesting.
Yeah.
And I didn't think, for me being a Mr. Perfect fan, I didn't think we needed anybody else to make him more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just something about Mr. Perfect and the Genius that felt like this needs to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
This dude is absolutely perfect and I'm smarter than everybody. So we're perfect together.
Yeah.
And he don't end up getting his championship. And it just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But then when I started to look at, you know, older wrestling, where while Lanny Poffo was never going to be like his brother at the WWE, he was never going to be top of the card or even mid-card, some of the moves that he was doing, some of the aerial moves and just tumbling around and flipping around and everything like that, it made it to be an interesting match between, like, him and a jobber.
Mm-hmm.
That we're probably like, you know, him versus, you know, Iron Mike Sharp is not really going to be something I'm going to be like, yo, y'all got to go watch that match.
Right.
But in the grand scheme of things from an 80s perspective, right, I get putting a match like that on that card because it's all about entertaining the fans. And between him going in and saying that poem and then him flipping around and given a quality match in Madison Square Garden or Boston Garden, things like that, I start to understand more because now we're in a day where every match got to be big as hell on the card.
Right.
Every match got to be five stars with somebody that we know and everything. And back in the day, you know, it was really house show heavy. And you might look at it again now and be like, yo, why did they put this shit on the card? But then when you watch the match and you see what they're doing, trying to put people over and things of that nature, I understood it, man. I just, I wish I would have got more of the Genius out of homie. He hit the home run. And then we see Damian Sandow take that character, basically.
Yes.
And go to a whole nother level than what the Genius did. Mm-hmm. So I just wish we would have got a chance to see more of the Genius in that 88, 89, 90 range.
Yeah.
You know, other than, you know, what we did see him with Mr. Perfect and the Beverly Brothers. And I was never a big fan of the Beverly Brothers. Let me just say this now. I was not, even though I knew them like as the Wrecking Crew or something, I think they was like
eight. Yeah, the Minnesota Wrecking Crew or something like that.
Yeah, like something like that. And then they come over to WWF as the Beverly Brothers, Bo and Blake. Yeah. It's like, but the Genius came through with the poem, and then they damn near killed people when they, like, it was, I can't remember who it was, but it's on YouTube. They damn near killed the man. Went up in the air and threw that man down on the ground face first, and then it looked like he landed neck first. Almost killed that man, but shouts out to the Genius, man. I really, really love the Genius character.
Yeah,
and absolutely. I think that character works today because Damian Sandow did it. So I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, everything. I second everything that Bang just said. Yeah, proof that it works. I mean, two of the everybody likes to be the smart wrestler. And, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You know what I'm saying? Dane Douglas didn't work so much, you know. Chad Gable, it's kind of working, you know. You know what I'm saying? Terrence Taylor, he wasn't quite the $6 million man, but he was like, but Mike Wall Street and all of that, you know.
Yeah,
that kind of worked for, you know, his computer. You know what I'm saying? But the thing that but the Genius making it work with scroll paper and a cap and gown, you know what I'm saying, and still doing the wisest thing possible while giving you a very articulate, artsy, colorful language into how opponents were being pulverized. That was always a great thing for me. And Damian Sandow, again, they kind of messed him up with the Miz Dow thing. But again, once you're over, you got to stay over. You got to sell those shirts. Just keep you on TV. But the Genius to Damian Sandow, I think that is the bookend to that character. I don't see anybody that has that ability, those intangibles to do the character again. However, the character does work. I think the thing is about the thing about wrestling and intellect is that when you combine the right guy with the right character and the right attitude about it, you get gold. And Lanny Poffo was the original maker of gold as far as that lane of wrestlers considered, in my view, in my lifetime. I can't speak on anything in the 70s because I didn't live it in real time. I will pay respect to it. But as far as what he did with what he had, it was incredible work. It was incredible work. And I know he's obviously not with the company, with his brother Randy dying, and how he feels about everybody and everything, which, I mean, hey, that's his brother. I expect from the ride for his brother like that.
Yeah.
I do feel a way that they didn't celebrate him enough. But that's why you got the first Black Champ podcast, man. The young kids that lived it that are now adults to tell you our account on it. And, yeah, man, rest in peace to the legend. Yeah, I said legend because he's a legend to me. The genius, Lanny Poffo.
It's not going to be too many podcasts that's going to do a tribute to Lanny Poffo either. Because, plus, Lanny Poffo is from Downers Grove, man. He was born in Canada, but he's Downers Grove, Illinois, fam. So we got to represent the crib.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So shouts out to Randy Poffo, Downers Grove North. Shouts out to Lanny Poffo. Shouts out to the Poffo family, Angelo. Yeah. If y'all don't do anything else after this, just go look up the Poffo family and how influential they were to wrestling, period, especially in the South, especially in Memphis. The Poffo family going up against Jerry the King Lawler and all of them. Stop playing, fam, with First Black Champ, all right? Yeah. All right, now, I have a guarantee that I'm going to pop off after, you know, watching NXT Vengeance Day last night, where I'm going to set day for a little bit later. We're going to talk about, you know, Elimination Chamber and all of that. But we can't kick this off. We can't do this pod and kick it off with what happened on Friday Night SmackDown. And how Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns is set for Elimination Chamber in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Sami Zayn got his lick back a little bit against Roman Reigns, but then got his ass beat again. But that's the match is set. So just going to kick this off by asking you this question. Is this pop in Montreal, Quebec, Canada the most anticipated pop in wrestling history?
I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to say yes because I actually want to say no by the way they're executing this. But I got to say yes because, man, if that's what Greenville, South Carolina doing, if that's what Greenville, South Carolina is doing, when he go to the crib, oh, man, we getting SummerSlam 97 times three. That's how, I mean, sorry, not some Survivor Series. Survivor Series 97 times three.
I want you to expound on what you had said in the beginning about what they're doing.
Yes.
Okay. And why you wanted to say no or what they're doing. Because I think we might be on the same page here, but I want to hear it.
All right, great. So, obviously, we watched the end of the Royal Rumble. And Roman Reigns did what any great heel would do when they love you a little too much. He gives you a new reason to hate his fucking guts. And he did that. He was successful. Even the crowd cussed at him and they ain't muted. Like, that's how you know it's like, no, you got to feel this heat.
Yeah.
What I don't like about this, though, Bang, is the character changing of Sami Zayn. Because when Sami Zayn is jovial, overly emotional, high strung, That's what makes every single moment. And in the past, whether he's been the, you know, just Kevin Owens' friend that does the dancing without the little jacket, and when he was doing the sky step or whatever that shit is, and but even when he was Castro, you know what I'm saying, Canadian Castro, when he was with Shinsuke and Cesaro, there's always this element of overly abundant emotion that comes with Sami Zayn, and that's what helps him sell every single moment. Now he's kind of behaving like the bad kids we see on TikTok, but the story is so over now that people don't care. They want the match so bad he can do anything. Because I'll be honest, Friday didn't look believable. I now see why y'all were kind of lost when we were saying, hey, Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns at night one at WrestleMania ain't a bad thing. And I'm still with that, because I don't think you solved this just at Elimination Chamber. They got to run this back. There's got to be three matches between Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. And you can't just waste two of them on SmackDown, if I'm just being honest. But here's the thing. If Sami Zayn is not doing the ultimate sell that he's been able to do for not just this storyline, but his entire career, where does this go? He's already outmatched in every possible category against the opponent one-on-one. Literally, this could be the one time Roman Reigns comes out by himself and we still know the outcome. But so the bloodline makes it look worse. We're also more concerned with seeing more Jey Uso and the dynamic between Jey and Sammy.
Yeah.
Now, you've unfortunately made Roman Reigns the afterthought because the opponent is not really selling the story as hard as he was to be down as he is to be against them. And that's my worry about why this is fever pitch, but the execution, I'm not feeling it so far.
So I kind of disagree with you.
Okay.
I kind of disagree with you. Because this really reminds me of Rocky III.
Okay.
Somewhat. To where it's like Rocky III and Rocky IV. Because I only don't expect Sami Zayn to win this feud. Mm-hmm. Because it just seems like to me after this weekend that they are just going to, this is just a setup for Jey Uso to turn on Sami Zayn in Montreal to give us the first night main event at WrestleMania, which would be the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Okay.
Which I get, and I don't mind seeing that. I'm not going to sit up and say that I don't mind seeing that because I'm cool with it. But it's what you just said. To kick this off, if that's the pop he getting in Greenville, fam, imagine what he'll get at home and imagine what he'll get at SoFi.
Right.
So I'm not going to beat a dead horse with the whole this is what should happen, this is what should happen, this is what should happen. Not gonna beat that dead horse. Because if we're going for the tag team championships, cool. And I do think the bloodline should be the main event, period. So if it gives us Roman versus Cody, night two, Usos versus Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, night one, I'm with it. We good.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to finish with the Rocky movie I think it falls in line with, but go ahead.
But it's really like, it's like Rocky IV, but Rocky's in America and not in Russia. And we know historically what happens when these matches end up happening to where you have the hometown hero going up against the champion in a match where, you know, he's the underdog. The underdog's still going to lose. Just go look at what happened in England when all of y'all last thought that Drew McIntyre was going to win this belt. And he ain't win it because Solo Siaka days. So however you pronounce my man last name.
Solo Sikoa.
However you pronounce it. Because Brando been killing me like, yo, you just going to continue pronouncing my man name wrong. And I'm like, y'all. It's what I want it to be, fam. But it's like that, though. It's like, okay. He at the crib, and being that he at the crib, he gonna lose at the crib, and that's why I'm a bridge it a little bit by saying, it's not that this is the most anticipated pop ever. This is the most anticipated what's gonna happen when Sami Zayn loses because of Jey Uso, how that pop is gonna be, like the pop that's gonna happen at Elimination Chamber is. The roof is on fire. We don't need no water. Let that motherfucker burn pop.
Right. Right.
This is Rocky going up against Drago at the Los Angeles Sports Arena pop. This is Hulk Hogan going up against Sergeant Slaughter doing Desert Storm pop. And probably bigger because it's not like Canada got a whole bunch of world champions. So when you get them, you celebrating them. But when Kevin Owens come out there to get the rest of the bloodline out the way and backstage to Jey Uso taking off the hoodie, seeing Sami Zayn and super kicking him into Roman Reigns, giving them the spear or the Superman punch leading to the 1-2-3. Yo, this is NWO type heat when this happened. This is July 7th, 1996. I'm throwing Coke, I'm throwing fries, I'm throwing bread, I'm throwing shoes or whatever else I can get inside of this ring. And you know what? I might jump the rail. This ain't no guarantee, but this a guarantee probably. Somebody gonna jump the rail on one of them Uso boys.
Oh yeah, and that's gonna be a dangerous Uso,
When Jey Uso super kicks that man and Sami Zayn loses, oh, get them the fuck up out the ring.
Yeah. Or make sure the insurance is up for the superstars because they still Samoans and they family still them.
Yes.
Let's be that. But everything you're saying, Bang, is why I hate that the storyline is playing out like Rocky V and Balboa. Which were the stories where Rocky ain't really got nothing to prove. He getting his ass whooped on the street, but we salute him for trying and trying to teach his son that, yo, you got it better than me, so why you tripping? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Some of the greatest life quotes are in Rocky V and Balboa. It's like, if your child is becoming a little too full of themselves, or they think that you haven't done enough, you play them Rocky V and Balboa and be like, look, fam, look what I had to do to get you to college, bro. Like, I almost died twice, got my homie killed. I lost my wife. No, I lost my trainer. My wife and I, and she didn't even show up for this movie. What are you talking about?
I'm broke.
Bitch.
And I'm broke.
Right. Yeah, and I'm still broke. I was like, and now this other kid who gonna get AIDS in real life is wants me to help him. And you mad. Fuck out my face, man.
Go no, for it.
Right.
I see it in your eyes. Go for it.
You know what I'm saying?
Talk about Rocky V. You know?
Shout out to CNC Music Factory because I feel like they just did that song. I
don't know. My wife just looked at me like, my wife just looked at me like, what the fuck is you doing, fam?
Yeah, man. You know what I'm
Rocky
saying?
Rocky V. Go for it. It was just a black dude rapping. Go for it. No, that's back when they used to rap like that and shit.
That's that the 90s up tempo. You know what I'm saying? You can work out to it. You can go to the mixed race club to it.
Definitely Running Man music. That's what that was. It was definitely Running Man music.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, I mean that too. But yeah, G, like that's what I'm thinking about. That pop when Jay turns on Sammy, and Sammy is down there looking like, damn, I thought we was homies, fam. And he's like, yo, we don't turn on family. That's the pop that I'm like.
Yeah.
We got to get the fuck up out of Dodge, man, because it's about to get wild.
But, hey, but you know, it's I think it's going to when Jay comes back, I think the story does get better. But that's again unfortunate because I think that. But I think in all of this, though, in this whole story, Roman Reigns kicked this off, this promo off the best way possible on Friday. It was like, hey, I want to talk about Cody Rhodes. Because, you know, he won the Royal Rumble. And usually, the week after the Royal Rumble, the two people that are most important besides the champions are the winners of the Royal Rumble. But everybody's talking about Sami Zayn. This is, I think, the trick bag that you were trying to warn people of, no matter who won.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, I know November, December, and even early January, people were not on board, but here we are. This is WWE Universe. This is wrestling. The wrestling world at its whole. And the hottest story is still the bloodline and everybody in it.
So, I'll admit, I got to pause you real quick. Because I see my man Q said it ain't going to be like HBK in Canada, fam. It's going to be worse. I am you think so?
I mean, hey, look. To be fair... He helped the flag, though.
But see here, But see, here's the difference between the two. You could never count Bret Hart as the underdog. Even in that match at the screw job, you thought Bret Hart was gonna win.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, I got you.
When it's the underdog, though.
Yeah,
and you know the underdog, right? He been getting his ass beat like this, and he the underdog. You feel like you're going to have to do everything in your power to make sure everybody know this is the dude. And here's the other fact. Yeah, Bret Hart from Canada, but he ain't from Montreal. He from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. No, Sammy and Kevin at the crib.
Yeah.
They at home. They get to do the, man, I grew up about a 30 minutes away from here, and it is the honor to main event in front of my fans, Vive le Fic, or whatever they say in French and Quebec, and all that stuff, Vive le Fic, all that stuff. They might have Jacques Rougeau come out in this motherfucker, wave a flag or two, and all that shit. Like, no, they from Montreal. If they've been in Calgary, if the Survivor Series 95 or 97, whatever was called the Calgary Stampede, and they was in Calgary. Oh, it been and you can't do the screw job. You can't do the Calgary screw job, fam. You do the Calgary screw job, somebody's gonna die, fam. That's what I'm telling you. When Jay because
Bret Hart's the one that made it. He's literally the one that made it.
Right. So when Sammy now tell me this. Who's the world champ for Montreal, y'all? Who's the champ for Montreal? Fam, the closest they had to a world champion was the Mountie winning the Intercontinental Championship. It's the closest.
Right. Mountie.
That's the closest, fam. That's the closest. The closest they had. Look. No. Then they telling you. When Jey Uso super kicks this man to hell, leave the arena. Leave the arena. Because all them Quebecers is, if he wins, we riot. Get ready. Because he's super kicking him to hell at Elimination Chamber. Because Sami Zayn's not winning that match. He's not. I guarantee that.
Yeah, no, he's not gonna win. And the thing is, they gotta use They got to use the 48 laws of power method here and crush him completely in his crib. Like, they got to do that.
In his crib. Because, and then, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, they have to do it because the main event at WrestleMania is Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. So we can't have all this Sammy Uso shit.
He got to be, like, Jay has to super kick this man to hell in order to transfer the heat from Roman to him.
Yeah.
So Roman could be like, all right, Cody time. Hey.
Yeah.
You talk about your fact, because I already see why they going with this. Because mm-hmm. Cody's talking about, hey, man, this ain't the only royal family in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, it's Bloodline versus the Rhodes. Y'all know why I stand with that. WWE really don't give a fuck about Dusty Rhodes like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't expect Roman to lose to Cody Rhodes.
Oh, no. No. Roman's not. Look, he's getting to day 1,000. I don't know what's happening after day 1,000. I don't know what day that falls on yet. Y'all know I'm usually good with that timeline. But he's still at 900-something. Even at night two of WrestleMania, like technically he's like a day 1,000 is like a round Money in the Bank or whatever they got in May now.
Yeah, it's in May. He breaks Pedro Morales in May.
Yeah, so
he's not here. He's not losing at WrestleMania, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
So y'all go ahead and get mad when Cody don't win now.
Yeah, for sure. They're just what they're trying to do, which was again why I said. The winner, if the winner of the Royal Rumble was not going to be Sami Zayn, it should have been Seth Rollins, because at least you got these people that are new to the world of wrestling, because the Shield has been a thing 10 years ago now, that they only reference the Attitude Era as the greatest time, and they will always tune into Seth versus Roman anywhere, especially after what happened last year. Cody has a lot of groundwork to cover. And it's, again, y'all know, this is the Cody Rhodes. We supported Cody Rhodes' first podcast, first of all. So we're not saying this to be disrespectful or malicious to our guy. The problem is he's just not in the components that make the hottest story in wrestling right now. He's just the biggest return. He was just the biggest free agent last year who called his own shot and made it work for him. Those things are great for Twitter banter. They're great for your personal reasons to like or dislike a person. But in the story of wrestling and the art of building programming, this ain't it. Like, it's just not it. Sammy, to bang be knowing, hashtag bang be knowing, but hashtag bang was effing right. Right now, we're still not seeing why the main event should not be Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns for the WWE Undisputed World Championship. Like, we're just not seeing it. And I think the story is falling off. And we still need to see it at WrestleMania.
And the thing is you want the story to fall off so we can get to Cody versus Roman.
Yeah.
You wanted the transition fall off. Mm-hmm. The fall off is still making this shit look like.
Yeah. The fall off still has to end at WrestleMania.
Yeah. So, I don't want to get into a what should happen.
Yeah.
Because I said that already. The hottest story should be at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You don't want this to be hot. Don't make it hot. But when Jay super kicks this man to hell, you.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, does it transition to Jay? Yes, it does. But he still got to get his get back for Roman. Like, that's if I fight you, if me and you fight, right? Mm-hmm. And your cousin snuffs me and knocks me out, I got to go get your cousin. Yeah. But then once I beat your cousin ass, I got to go beat your ass.
It's back to me, yeah.
And that's the thing, man. Like, that's the thing that I'm looking at here.
Yeah.
It's once he wins, it's like, hey, I got to go get him now.
Yeah.
It's not, we the champs. Oh, we got the belt.
It's like, not in the way.
Right. Yeah, now I got this belt. Now I'm about to go whoop your ass. So, gonna step away from the whole, what should happen. Mm-hmm. But what would you personally rather have? Would you rather have you know, Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn at WrestleMania? Mm-hmm. Or would you rather have night one, the Usos versus the Quebecers part two at WrestleMania night one?
Well, I got to default to the second option because remember my idea for the Elimination Chamber was Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Bloodline. Yeah. And it ironically timed out to be exactly six people. So I don't even get why we doing none of this. Because the thing is, since when is the champ defending his title in a singles match at the Elimination Chamber? Like, yo.
Yeah.
I don't believe, now I could be wrong, but I don't believe this has happened where a champion that either was or was not the pick of the Royal Rumble winner in a solo match at Elimination Chamber. I don't believe that has happened so far. So in my whole thought process, Sami in the chamber at one against Solo, who's number two, and work it out however between Kevin and the Usos, but Roman Reigns is six. And it's still elimination rules apply, so they're going to beat Kevin Owens' ass and get him out of there, and they're going to treat him like a sacrificial lamb of slaughter to the point they just got to stop the chamber. They was like, well, y'all ain't trying to eliminate nobody. Like, y'all just beating dude up. It'd be the greatest, shortest Elimination Chamber match ever. But we need that to end the story. So yeah. He can get on to whatever he was going to do at the Royal Rumble, which we know now is Cody Rhodes.
And, you know, so I'll tell you right now, I'd rather see Roman versus Sami.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the biggest angle.
Yeah.
I think they've made me disinterested in what Cody Rhodes has to say about Roman Reigns, period.
Yeah.
It's nothing I want to hear what Cody Rhodes got to say. What are you going to say? Mm-hmm. You know, my daddy wrestled your daddy in Florida?
Right. You know what I'm saying? Hey, answer Keith's question. Why would the champ agree to wrestle twice in one weekend? Because Lex Luger and Bret Hart did it twice in one night.
Bingo.
And Roman Reigns got both belts. And Roman Reigns don't keep – he got the Hulk Hogan schedule also.
Yep.
He could do these two matches and show back up at SummerSlam.
Yep. The same reason why Macho Man wrestled three times at WrestleMania 4.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's it sounds foreign now, right? But if Roman Reigns is truly solely responsible for the biggest grossing year in WWE history, and keep in mind this is during and post pandemic, then honestly, Vince is kind of telling them, yo, you kind of got to be here both nights, bro. I don't know if you know this, but fam, John Cena didn't make this, all right?
Yeah, we kind of
didn't make this. And we was going crazy at this point.
Yeah, we need you both nights.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And the thing is, I think we, and don't get it confused, I'm not saying that he got to Ric Flair it. He ain't got to do Ric Flair Steamboat. We doing 60-minute matches a night. You dig?
Yeah.
One can be Roman Reigns has the great 25-minute
matches. He got two 25-minute matches. The end.
But I was going to say he can give you a 10 and a 25 or a 15 and a 30, and you're going to get everything that you need from a Roman Reigns match.
And the second question I see is you saying that, you know, it's about to be so bad that Canada bans Joe. No, it's going to be so bad that Jimmy gets banned. Remember, he's the one with the DUIs.
Mm.
Remember that. So when Jay super kicks Sammy to hell, Jimmy ain't going to be there. Somebody going to get punished. It's going to be Jimmy. Mm. He the one who got the record. We can't let you up in here, fam. We can't let you up in here.
Call Drake. Man, now you got to call Drake.
Yeah, you gotta call Drake, fam. You gotta, and I don't know, and I don't know if Drake, you know what I'm saying, is that powerful in Quebec. All right. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe in Manitoba.
But, yeah.
Maybe you know in Alberta. Saying? Not in the capital.
Right. But you know, I mean, hey, look, man, even to your other question about Heyman advising him not to. Listen, man, it's still WrestleMania. And before, what, 3 years ago, WrestleMania was one night. You know what I mean? And really, if this was 1994, the WrestleMania would be the Bloodline versus everybody. That would probably be the theme. It'd be only 7 or 8 matches, and they'd be in 6 of them. And that would just be that. I think that if we're going to if WrestleMania is the stadium show that it is now, let's really dial in what we're looking at right here. WrestleMania is a stadium show. And I get what the WWE is trying to do, but favor ain't fair, neither is life. That's why bras and condoms come in different sizes, okay? We can't keep going on with this. The women got a main event one night and the men got a main event the next night. We can't keep doing, oh, they deserve this, blah, 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 and they deserve that. And this is tag team. This is international superstars. This is men versus women. Look, Roman Reigns is the hottest dude in this thing, period. Bingo. Period. There is nobody worthy of head. There are 2 to 3 other people earning the right to headline a WrestleMania in 2023, and the name is not Roman Reigns. Like, this is the trick bag. This is why you truly only need one title. Because, like, even if they unified the title, they give him just one brand new big-ass belt for himself. You can't tell me that there's a WrestleMania card on either night that the box office draw for night one will equal or be greater than the other night that involves Roman Reigns. And that's why he would have to main event both nights. And it makes perfect sense.
Look, man, Wrestle Kingdom, they do it all the time.
There you go.
The end. Yeah. All right, man. So let's move on to the U.S. Championship, a.k.a. the Raw Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, they really believe what you said, too. They really believe that now. I see it.
Because the belt is being defended in the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, man. So, respectfully, this is trash. Okay? Respectfully, this is trash. It's trash for this reason. Because it's the United States Championship. Rename it the Raw Heavyweight Championship, man, if you're going to do this. And this is a lot of blood, sweat, and sacrifice to get the United States title. The title that Vince didn't even create. All right? That's my real beef with all this. He just got this title 21 years ago.
The chat, like, it's the championship that... Look, I've been saying that this is the Raw Heavyweight Championship for about a couple of months now. Since Bobby Lashley had got it, I was like, oh, this is a little bit bigger than what they want it to be. I just do this with the Intercontinental Championship. Do it with the mid-card champion that matters. It's nothing against Austin Theory, because I do like Austin Theory. I said on this show, he's probably the future and everything. So... This is nothing against Austin Theory. It's just that the mid-card champion that means the most, and you showed that shit at the Royal Rumble, is Gunther.
Yeah.
So if there's any belt that deserves, if there's any mid-card belt that deserves to be defended at Elimination Chamber, it's the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
It's the belt you know. It's the belt that's yours. Look, Montez Ford, I hope he's in there. Bobby's going to be in there. So, of course, I want one of the brothers to win.
Yeah.
But I want the brothers to actually go up against Gunther more than they go up against Austin Theory in this format. if it was a fatal four way or something like that, all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
The Elimination Chamber, though, I'm not that interested in Austin Theory being the U.S. champ than I am Gunther.
Yeah.
I would rather see Bobby Lashley, Gunther, Tez, Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, and throw somebody up in there.
Yeah.
And Bobby got to be up in it for me to even care about this. Because matter of fact, let me go and see who win this joint.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bunch of matches. It's qualifying matches for sure. And I forgot who won on Monday. But what I do know for sure is that this is the part of the show where the Street Profits are definitely not going to make it in there.
Oh,
together.
Matter of fact, yeah, Bobby ain't in it yet. All right. So it's Austin Theory versus Seth Rollins versus Bronson Reed, because he defeated Dolph Ziggler.
Bro. Just give the man a bye. Just give him a bye.
Versus your man who beat Baron Corbin.
See? You know?
So I got to see Austin Theory versus Seth Rollins, which I'm cool with. Johnny Wrestling and Bronson Reed.
Yeah, man.
And I'll say Bobby and Tez.
Tez versus Elias. So, I think...
I'm supposed to be interested in that Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, Dawkins is... I think he's going against Damian Priest, so he's losing. Yeah, it's Tez versus Elias.
Yeah, Bobby's not even going to be in it. Well, my prediction, I got a prediction.
Okay.
Got a prediction, y'all. What happened to Bobby last year? Hey. In Elimination Chamber. Bobby getting Johnny Wrestling the fuck up out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Five-o, your days are done, boy.
Yeah, he got to get... Because if Brock Lesnar has to... Let me throw this out here, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
See? Sometimes you got to talk yourself into shit. Bobby Lashley has to be in this match.
Okay.
Brock Lesnar has to beat up Bobby Lashley to keep him from winning the belt. Mm-hmm. But the threat of Bobby Lashley needs to be in this match. Mm. The threat, which leads to Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Right.
Because I don't want to see Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar at Elimination Chamber. I need part three to be at WrestleMania.
Absolutely. It has
but
to
I need there. But I need Bobby Lashley on Monday to beat the shit out of Johnny Wrestling for personal reasons.
Absolutely.
And professional reasons. Personal reasons is first black champ business.
You know what I'm saying?
Professional reasons is first black champ. or make it even better. They just magically find Johnny Wrestling just on the ground. Oh, he in the parking lot. Oh,
you know. Bet you didn't see that, buddy. Yeah. You punk ass.
So then Bobby Lashley ends up in this match. We end up finding out that Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander got him the fuck up out of here. Bobby Lashley enters the match. But when he enters the match, Brock Lesnar whoops his ass like what happened last time, which leads to them two at WrestleMania.
I dig it.
But the threat of Bobby Lashley got to be in this match. Because Tez is going up against who?
Elias.
Tez winning that match.
Yeah.
Angelo Thawk is going up against who?
Damian Priest.
Judgment Day got to be up in the match.
Yeah.
Judgment Day got to be up in the match.
Yeah. And then you know what? When I saw it, this might be premature, but the guarantee I'm going to toss out here today is that I wouldn't be surprised if Damian Priest is the U.S. champion at the end of Elimination Chamber. Because what I thought was kind of going to happen didn't. But somebody else in Judgment Day needs a title going into WrestleMania.
Going in, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're usually your hot faction has a champion. Now, it's kind of hard to get the men's belts off of three guys, right? But Damian Priest is owed something. And, hey, he is kind of responsible for bringing the U.S. title back into something that was at least a segment in the second hour.
Yeah.
When he caught his stride, when he was shooting the imaginary bow and arrow at the Titantron.
Punishment, nope. Martinez. But yeah, I just don't care about that match enough to even be worried about that shit. So moving on. Mommy picked her match, fam. And I think it shocked a lot of people when she picked Charlotte Flair. Now, they do have a history when yeah. Charlotte Flair picked the NXT championship and then defeated Rhea Ripley for that belt. Mm-hmm. So they got a history. But do you think that she made the wrong choice here?
She made the wrong choice for what I wanted. However, though, I'm going to see maybe a hidden silver lining right here.
Okay.
For this. And why what Rhea Ripley actually did was make a great move for herself and Bianca Belair at the same damn time.
Okay.
Here's my theory, ladies and gentlemen, that might be watching this, whenever you decide to watch this, especially on the live stream. So even though they're painting the story as, you know what, 3 years ago, Charlotte took my moment, you know what I'm saying? She put me in my place, blah, blah, blah. But obviously, I'm new and improved. I'm about to put her in her place. What that means to me, Bang, is this. I wasn't that hot when I did that Charlotte Flair thing the first time. But I'm scorching hot right now. And not only am I scorching hot right now, I'm scorching hot the whole time she left and came back. Y'all still talking about me. And what is Charlotte if she's nothing else? Because, and this is how the company sees her, whether the fans feel this way or not. Charlotte Flair is the benchmark of the women who is the hottest in the game. That's why the four horsewomen are who they are. That's why when there's a main event, there's usually one of the four of the minute. And for the most part, Charlotte will always get a title shot, win a title match. And even when she loses, you want to see part two and or three. So really, this is a heat check for Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. Because I think we've both been saying this for a little while about Charlotte Flair. How long she want to do this? Because she's now done it all. And now she's done it all twice. As we said in 2023, she's done it all twice. This won't be her, but third time main event in the WrestleMania. I don't believe. I mean, well, as a champion, I'm sorry. There's only one main event with the women, and she was in the first one. She just didn't win it. So I see it as the heat check for Rhea and Charlotte because, hey, if nothing else, here's our white superstar girl that we know can do this and make this happen if Charlotte decides to leave. How does that benefit Bianca Belair, Bang?
Yeah.
And the audience? Real simple. Because if you look at that roster of the women who are supposed to be in this match, Bianca Belair is now strapped with the task of making the fourth star at WrestleMania.
So this is why I disagree with you.
Okay.
To a point.
Okay.
Charlotte Hill is a face. I'm good on that. Yeah. She's going to be a face throughout this whole back and forth because Judgment Day ain't turning face.
True.
So because of that, I don't want heel Rhea Ripley chasing face Charlotte Flair because face Charlotte Flair ain't that interesting to me. I'll say this. Heel Charlotte Flair versus Sonya Deville, if it's heel Charlotte Flair or remnants of heel Charlotte Flair, this shit would have been so damn more interesting than what we got. But we just got, why is she bothering me? Instead of, I'm going to beat this bitch ass, Charlotte Flair, which is the best. So that's the only reason why I'm like, I'm good off this shit. Because it's face Charlotte Flair as opposed to heel Charlotte Flair. Because and even going further, I think both of them heels or just tweening makes this match a bit more interesting than what it feels like to me they're going to do and have Charlotte Flair maybe prevail against the hot new person who she defeated back when she was a different type of person. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see that shit. That shit right there, I'm good on. Now,
I get you.
Bianca Belair on the other side. This might sound bad, what I'm about to say, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say it.
Okay.
Because while I have been right every step of the way, when I've said anything about Bianca Belair, I've been right 95% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so right, I still believe she's the next big female action star.
Mm-hmm.
But Bianca Belair ain't put nobody over in the match. And what I mean by that is ain't nobody that she's wrestled, in my opinion, came out of that match looking like a star. That wasn't now, already a star.
And now it's time.
Which is why they're not going to give her no wrestler like that. They're going to give her Dark Asuka, and she's going to have to prevail against Dark Asuka, the craziest, deepest challenge she got. Mm. And maybe she beats Dark Asuka. Mm-hmm. Maybe she loses to Dark Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to put Liv Morgan in there and say, Bianca, you got to make Liv Morgan in.
Mm-hmm.
They're not gonna put what's Shorty name?
Natalia?
Nah.
But she in the match.
Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss, okay.
They're not gonna put her back up on that spot and be like,
no.
Because here's the thing. Bianca looks great against the four horse women.
That's the point. Let me stop you there. Because everything you're saying is why I'm saying this laying out like this. Because I challenge two things that you're saying right here, right now. Mm-hmm. First one I want to challenge back to Rhea. Rhea's only a heel because she beats up Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that makes her a heel.
She going to get cheered that night.
Yes. So, and I say that because, listen, again, Rhea Ripley put four men on her back and not the way we probably would want to watch it. But she got them all over with time to spare to get to WrestleMania. Both the Mysterios, Finn Balor, and Damian Priest. They've been riding her coattails all the way to the Royal Rumble. It was very telling that she came out and cut her own promo by herself. And you saw the difference in the reaction to that promo when she's dolo and when she's with those guys.
Yeah.
Saying all that to say, I'm not a fan of Faith Charlotte Flair either. But I think what this will allow both of them to do is get a chance to be who they really want to be and give us the match we really want. I don't think when we're talking about Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair, we got to talk good versus evil, good versus bad. I think we just got to see two tall white girls fighting. And I think we're here for that.
Yeah. No, I'm cool with that. I mean, I'm cool with that.
Right. And it's so
go ahead.
So now, so we have that set. Again, we're just trying to develop benchmark number two, which performance-wise, I think Rhea Ripley can step into the Charlotte Flair lane that they want her to be in. Now, again, to your point, you're right. You are 1,000,000,000% correct on Bianca Belair. She has not looked great and gotten anybody else over that wasn't a four-horse woman. You are absolutely right on that. That's undisputed fact. Don't try to challenge my mans on that. He right. Here's the deal, though. Maybe another soft guarantee, but I think this Elimination Chamber is strictly between Asuka and Raquel Rodriguez. And I honestly got Raquel Rodriguez winning this, doing the turn that she needs to be healed so she can get to WrestleMania. And Bianca Belair's job is to put that girl over so she can be four.
Now, I'm cool with that.
Okay.
Because I've also said on here that I don't like face Raquel Rodriguez.
Nobody does.
I don't like this whole smiley, cheerful, I need my D's, female Diesel back.
Right.
I need her back. I don't need this, you know, cheer, you know, see my back muscles.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, nothing against it.
Yeah, but, I did lat pulls today.
So right. Yeah, so what? But my Raquel Rodriguez is scary and will beat your ass. Mm-hmm. And would be a fearful challenger to Bianca Belair. Dark Asuka, I don't want her losing to nobody.
True.
Because I think this one, this version of Asuka, the most dangerous one. But I don't want to see Dark Asuka lose if that happens either. So I'm cool with your Bianca Belair versus Raquel Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. I'm down for that one. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure they're gonna give us that.
Okay.
But they should. It's just, now I'll say this. I like Raquel Rodriguez versus Charlotte Flair because I know it's one thing that Charlotte Flair gonna do. She gonna make you look good.
Mm-hmm.
She gonna do all of that. But I also see Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair as Stone Cold and The Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but much just like in 97, The Rock ain't there yet. He there, but he not there yet. And Bianca Belair is not there.
Episode 9 of Young Rock. I figure episode 9 of Young Rock.
Boy, you know, there we go. It don't even matter. We know what you meant, though. We know what you said because we was there.
You know what it means. Because so that's a good point.
The thing is about Bianca Belair, right? There's only two roads for her to take into WrestleMania. You either put Raquel Rodriguez over and you make her the heel she needs to be, or you take on Asuka, you take your lump at WrestleMania, and now you come back heel. And that's your way of showing you can put people over. Either way, 2023 has to be the year that Bianca Belair starts putting women over, because Becky, Bayley, and Sasha Banks all put her over. Now she's having exhibition matches for the World Women's Championship and is becoming an afterthought, even though she is a big star. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, we are not talking about her impact. We're not talking about how popular or how beautiful or how we want her to win or how she's great at what she does. No, we're not saying that all of that is not true. But in the world of wrestling, you have to start putting people over. The reason why this Alexa Bliss thing fell kind of flat is because, one, that character in Alexa Bliss ain't really where we need it to be. But then she also took that ass beating in Nashville, and we still didn't believe that she was going to lose that title. Man. So we got to come to a common ground here where she's telling a story where she looks in peril. The one thing, and this is why John Cena honestly should be in everybody's top five, okay? Because even when we thought John Cena ain't going to lose, he sold you the idea that, man, this might be it.
Yeah, because like, it was a couple of times he went against Umaga where I was like, oh, this might be it.
Right. Right. Like, there's, like, we can't say he went on the Bruno Sammartino run and we just knew he was going to win every single time. There was some patches there where it was like, oh. And then when he got to Bray Wyatt and ran his resume of the last 5 years, he was like, oh. Like, damn, you ain't won since like 2014? Like, huh? Like, what are you talking about? But it's facts. And that's the deal with being great enough to put people over. Again, everybody can't be champ. Your favorite wrestler ain't over. And probably the lesson that needs to be learned the greatest is with Bianca Belair right now, because people like a Jade Cargill can see a Bianca Belair run and be like, well, I'm doing that too. How come I'm not as popular? Now this is where she creates the separation, because it's like, hey, did you put Jamie Hayter over? Is you over there putting Sara over, or whatever Paige's name is over there, if I said it wrong?
Soraya,
I'm sorry. Like, you know what I'm saying? Is they bringing the Freddie Mercury girl back, and can you make her a star? You know what I'm saying? What can you do? What can you do with these other women on the roster? Now we've put you in the position where all the girls that had to earn their spot now gave you theirs. Now it's time for you to give it to somebody else. What can you do with it? You got WrestleMania to prove it. You've made your history. You made your woman history. You made your black history. Now go make somebody else a moment. That's fair.
All right, well, we're about to get into the goddamn tease because that's all we got for today.
Word.
All right, man, here's my goddamn tease, y'all. If you watch NXT TakeOver, well, NXT Vengeance last night, you saw a future world heavyweight champion, Carmelo Hayes. Ladies and gentlemen, I saw the future of the wrestling world last night. I mean it. Carmelo Hayes, fam. Telling y'all, that man right there is going to carry the first Black Chat mantle for years to come. From the entrance to the match. And I'm going to say this again because I messed up. From the entrance to the match to the end of the night. Staring down Bron Breakker with the point, telling him, we up next. Bam. Carmelo. Melo is him. And I'm telling y'all right now, y'all ain't look. I know some of us that listen to the pod don't necessarily be all in the NXT like that. I'm telling y'all right now, if y'all don't watch NXT for anything else, watch it for Melo. Trick Williams as the new Mr. Slick. Watch for them in the barbershop. Watch for blackness. Watch for Carmelo, because that man right there is the future of the WWE. Shawn Michaels know what he got down there. I'm thinking they going to give – it's a 2 out of 3 falls match with him and Apollo Crews.
Yes. Yeah.
It's Apollo Crews. They're going to draw this out because they was going. That man beat Apollo Crews 2-0 sweep in a 2 out of 3 falls match and looked good as hell doing it. I can't wait to WrestleMania weekend for Stand and Deliver. When he go up against Bron Breakker for the NXT championship and he becomes the NXT champion. But when he gets to the main roster, ain't gonna get no blacker than Melo. I know everybody's talking about Tez. I get it about Tez. I want it for Tez too.
Right.
But if I had to pick between Tez and Melo, after last night, I'm picking Melo. Telling y'all. I'll even go as far as saying this, Kemp. Remember when you said at WrestleMania 40 that it was going to be, who was it, Baron Corbin
versus Big Cass?
Big Cass? I'm about to go out on my own limb.
Okay.
At WrestleMania 43, I'll pick a city. In Chicago, Illinois, at WrestleMania 43 in Arlington Heights in the new Chicago Bears Stadium, or whenever that joint is built.
Right.
The main event will be Montez Ford versus Melo the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. That's going to be your main event. We had two black women main event WrestleMania. We had two black men main event WrestleMania.
That's true.
Montez Ford versus Melo will be your WWF World Heavyweight Championship main event around WrestleMania 43.
I will give you this, because obviously I would love to see that. I believe where the spots that Montez Ford is really good at, Carmelo Hayes is showing flashes of greatness at. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was anybody to cut the Tez line. It is Melo, and they do put him in that spot, and it just has cause for tweaking for Montez Ford. Because, man, we just got to keep it a buck. There's a reason why they haven't pulled the trigger. Because Montez Ford wrestled Roman Reigns on SmackDown, and Michael Cole oversold that like WrestleMania was tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then he did the work as far as putting on the weight and doing all that and nothing. So, I mean, granted, I know he broke his foot, so that was, or fractured it or something like that. So I know that stalled him some time, but still, there's a way to still put him in main event pictures, even without him wrestling. There's obviously some pause for concern, and I think the pauses that you might have for Tez, you don't have with Melo, and that's why you're saying what you're saying, and that's why I'm not providing any pushback.
Bruh, Shawn Michaels got his hands all over him. Mm-hmm. Pause.
Yeah, for sure.
But he got his hands all over him, fam. And I'm telling you, like, it's been like this the last couple of NXT Premium Live events. Mm-hmm. But last night when they raised down the banner for each accomplishment he made, mm-hmm. and then they had him in the background, and he came out. I'm telling y'all, look, I don't want to see Trick Williams wrestle a day in his life again. Mm-hmm. He's this generation's Mr. Slick. And mm-hmm. to me, that is a big compliment.
Yeah.
In a time where managers are not necessarily wanted.
Right.
But it is something about Melo that just reeks. Star. Mm. And when I saw last night, it's not like I haven't saw it before, but it just felt different last night. Mm. It just felt different for me last night. And I think the reason why it felt different, because it was no belt involved. It was a two out of three falls match. And that's how you know it wasn't no belt involved. It was two out of three falls, and he won each one. I didn't care that Dabba Kato jumped Apollo Crews afterwards. I felt like that was going to happen when he came down. It was like, yo, you didn't see him in a while. He about to beat his mans up. And then his mans lost twice in a row. I was like, yeah, he about to beat him up. But to me, that was Melo, fam. Melo, forget Melo at this point. Melo is money. Shawn Michaels is grooming the next world champion to come out of NXT. And to me, his ceiling is bigger than anybody that's come out of NXT in quite some time, and that's saying a lot. Yeah, Melo versus Tez is a dream match that I believe that will come true at WrestleMania when we see two black men battle it out for the World Heavyweight Championship. Mm. I am damn near willing to bet some good money on that shit happening the way that people believe in Tez. What I saw in Melo, don't sleep.
Hey, man, well, there you have it. There y'all heard it. Shit. You dig?
Yeah, I'm jumping out the I'm jumping out the window like you did with your joint. But yeah, I think it's gonna happen.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Hey, and the forecast of yours is looking way brighter than mine, even at the time. Both of those two big white guys were over, and Vince was in control of everything.
Yeah.
And the titles won't split either. It's definitely not happening now. Man, I don't know how they're going to end that Baron Corbin JBL thing, but they need to. And do it right now. Go ahead and do it right now with them boot cut slacks.
I'm Jonah and, Hill, fam.
Yeah.
It ain't working.
Yeah.
It can work. It just ain't working the way they doing it.
Yeah, right. Everything about those two together will work. It's just that ain't working. If now Triple H, you had a creative, I'm blaming you for this because, bruh, huh? Like, dog, you know better than this.
Now, I need my real cabinet back. I need Baron Corbin, some tag team version of the Bashams, bring an Apollo, Orlando Jordan over there. I need that. I don't need this shit that y'all got going on where y'all playing poker and all that shit. No, I need a real cabinet, fam. But JBL is the advisor, man. Like, stop playing.
No, for sure. Yeah. Hey, well, there y'all have it, man. Hey, listen. Thank you for joining us this evening. Look, you know what I mean? We appreciate y'all. You know, a little quick hit for your Sunday evening, man. Obviously, there's a lot more wrestling to catch up on. Elimination Chamber is around the corner. And hopefully, this week, they give us some more to talk about. Oh, yeah, with the with the cattle pride. Like, the cattle pride. Man, hopefully, Cody Rhodes gets off the Love Fest and really goes at his new challenger. He got to make himself look and feel like something going into WrestleMania. He got less than 60 days.
Yeah, he said he had 62.
Yeah.
Less than that now.
Yes, it is. And they cheering for Sammy in Greenville, South Carolina. But, hey, we appreciate y'all checking out this show, just like you do every single show. Thank you for tuning into the live stream, even on this Sunday evening. You know, we know the Grammys is on, and you might want to share your collective fake outrage, and we might have cut into your time for that.
Hey, well, on the rap categories, Kendrick Lamar got all them bitches, basically. Well, they going to do one more for the live joint, but Kendrick Lamar got and Drake and Future got one, too. Drake and Future got best melodic performance. But the Heart Part 5 won Best Rap Song and Best Rap Performance.
Wow.
Yeah. Glorilla should have won, fam.
I mean, we got to gauge where rap is, not where we want it to be. So look at that. Even the Backpackers have joined the Grammy board and have expressed their bias. And that's why you just don't trust the Grammys. And look, you're talking to it and you're listening to a guy that actually enjoyed Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. It's in my top three of Kendrick projects.
You're talking to two of them. But that's why I put in the Some Dude Pod group. We got a group for Some Dude Pod. That's why I put the exact joint was, yeah, man, the Grammys, man. Don't trust the Grammys. But then the Grammys saying the award goes to Kendrick Lamar.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Hey. Listen, not for nothing, no disrespect, but Rhapsody got a few too many nominations when Ninth Wonder first got himself in there. And I'm not saying it to be disrespectful, but look at Nicki Minaj's history at the Grammys. That's all I'm telling you. But again,
Glorilla,
that
should have won.
Absolutely. There's no way, if we're talking just hip hop alone, Glorilla deserved about 3 to 5 Grammys this year. and that's just by what y'all playing every day and what DJs is playing at brunches too loudly every weekend. That's just how it goes. But hey, man, hey, listen again. We appreciate y'all, man. And thank you for tuning in to this show. Always a safe haven for you to talk about anything, especially if you can correlate it to wrestling. You know what I'm saying? We definitely appreciate that. So always remember, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. Champ VP Bang. We are out. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.
That was hard, friend. That was good. Now that one scared me. I thought y'all was tired. You ain't gonna front, man.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.